who is the customer and what problem you're solving for them is so crucial. Paint a picture of the outcome that you want and then work backwards to create that outcome. I think curiosity is so important.
If you know something about how Amazon, the company, works, you've heard about their infamous memos, these long-form documents that they use rather than presentations to define and share big ideas. Now, that's all well and good for a global company with thousands of folks. But what if you could pressure test your boldest ideas before writing a single line of code and align your entire team around them? In today's episode of Venture Visionaries, I sit down with Marcelo Calbucci, technologist, entrepreneur, and author of the PR FAQ framework. Marcelo has spent 25 years at the intersection of tech and strategy, holding key roles at Microsoft, Amazon, and perhaps most importantly for our conversation, founding 6 startups across Seattle and London. We're going to explore how writing can help sharpen thinking, how startups break down as they scale, and how Amazon's internal decision-making tools can help any founder build smarter and faster. Whether you're running a scrappy team of 5 or scaling towards 500, Marcelo's clarity and frameworks will help you ask and answer the right questions before it's too late. Let's dive in. What was your first interest in startups or technology? Who brought that on? Who influenced it? And was there a specific moment when you knew, like, this was a place you wanted to build a career in?
Yeah, it started very early on in my life when I was a teenager. My father gave me a computer. I learned how to write code. And my first reaction is like, what can I do with this? And soon I start building software for family businesses and friends. And like, I really enjoyed that when I was a teenager. So I ended up going to computer science college, studying that, and then using software as my weapon, you know, to make the world better.
You have done a bunch of software engineering, but you've also participated in the world of HR and kind of communication. And the world of the PR FAQ is really organizational strategy. At what point did you start lobbing all of these other disciplines into your journey?
Yeah, I founded many startups. So when you found a startup and you start, it's just like you and your co-founder, you go through the journey of like raising money and then recruiting people and then seeing like how systems work and don't work and how to define a strategy and how to create a career ladder for employees and everything else. So I was very involved in operations and the growth of the company besides, you know, engineering, product design, data, which I managed directly. And I was always fascinated by this, like how do you create system for humans, right? Because humans are complex machines. You can't guarantee outcomes the same way you can with software, although software is a little bit complicated as well. So like both sides of the business always fascinated me.
You mentioned you founded 3 startups. Is that correct?
6 startups.
6 startups that you have founded. Okay. Most people don't even get a repeat on a second one. Quite incredible to have played that movie so many times. What are some of the things that you are doing really differently the 6th time from the first time? And what's some of the stuff that has remained most consistent?
That's a great question. The things that remain the same for me, or I value more, you know, and I didn't realize how much I value in the past, is really the obsession with customer. So I started my first startup because I identified a customer problem. I knew the customer really well, and that was very important. Over the years, I realized how that is must be the kernel any startup, right? Or any new product within a big company or any innovation, like who is the customer and what problem you're solving for them is so crucial to success. What I have learned over the years, the biggest difference between my first startup and my last was really around recruiting and the importance of like bringing the right people on board. My first startup was struggle to recruit. I didn't know how to do it right. I didn't know how to create systems and set a process to do effectively. By the time I was, you know, on my last startup, I really knew that really well. I was teaching recruiters like how to do it in the way that align with the values of the organization, with how we should evaluate and assess people and how we should make offers and entice folks to apply, like all kinds of things.
when you kind of were working with your recruiting team, how clear were you on who the right person was for a startup? If you did have that idea, what are some of the skills or personality traits that you find most important? And how did you find it most effective to test for those things?
Yeah, so I don't think we have time to discuss all that because I think that deserves a book.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll write a book about that. But, you know, it depends on the size of the startup. When you are like 10 people and you're hiring the 11th person to join your team, you really have a different lens than when you are 150 people and you're hiring the 150th person to join your team. Mm-hmm. When you're really small, you really want people that are self-driven, highly motivated, independent, free thinkers. You don't want people that you're going to have to manage very heavily because you don't have the bandwidth to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, the other important thing is like these people need to feel comfortable in an unstructured system where there is not enough process, there is not enough tools, you know, like they're going to ask for the employee handbook and you're going to say like, we don't have one yet. These people need to feel very comfortable in that environment. They're going to help self-manage their vacation and everything else. When you're bigger at a startup, you're going to have more established like vision and mission and values and purpose and all that stuff that goes with every company. Mm-hmm. But also you're going to have an HR to support you with multiple people. You know, people are going to have benefits. They're going to talk about those elements. They're going to talk about career promotion, which you might not even have when you're only 10 people, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important for you to allow people to select out of the recruiting process. Mm-hmm. That is the key. Right. When you are 10 or 150, don't paint a picture that doesn't match the reality of the organization. Mm-hmm. Just tell people like, this is the reality of our organization. This is what's good. This is what's bad. This is what's ugly. Like, do you want to continue this process? Mm-hmm. And preferably you put that on your website. Right. Mm-hmm. So people filter out immediately. They're like, yeah, this is not for me. Maybe you have a startup on the West Coast. 80% of the team is in Europe or is in Asia. And you're going to have to tell them like, look, we're going to have meetings at 7 a.m. If you're not a morning person, this is not the company for you. I think it's very important for companies to be transparent. Companies try to paint a too rosy of a picture of how good it is to work for them to attract the best talent. But then the talent comes, doesn't fit, creates friction in the organization, is frustrated because it doesn't align with their lifestyle or their values. So just put out there.
You're absolutely right that you can clearly write a book on this, maybe an idea for your next one. But it's a good segue as we shift gears into the PR FAQ framework. It was a system where rather than making slides, you make memos. What specifically is the PR FAQ framework trying to solve? And how would you describe what the key elements of it are?
Let's take just one step back of this and say, like, I did 18 years of startups, then I joined Amazon. It's a massive organization. Or a better way to view Amazon is a collection of thousands of startups. They're not really startups, but they are like groups within the organization. They are fairly independent to make decisions about technology, operations, launch dates, and everything else. There is still like a cross-company coordination, but each team, it might be 5 people, it might be 50 people, it might be a 500-person organization within Amazon. They use the PRFAQ internally to make all decisions about new products or changes to products, new business, new services, new policies, even new process or changes to existing process. Sometimes go through the PRFAQ process. Amazon uses Memo. It's very famous for it. And there is like different Memo for everything. So there are different frameworks for different stages and what you're trying to do. One of this is the PR FAQ framework, which stands for press release and frequently asked questions. And the press release is a forward-looking memo. Instead of like a memo about the present or a memo about people or a memo about the past, it's really about looking at the future and make a decision, should we do this or not? And the way it works is based on the working backwards system that Amazon also invented, which is paint a picture of the outcome that you want and then work backwards to create that outcome. Like what would take for that outcome to become a reality? What the PRFAQ is a 6-page document. The first page is a press release that tells the story of the launch of the product, service, program that you're doing as if already happened. As you read that PRFAQ, you read it like, today we are launching this new, let's say, recruiting referral program to address the need to do this, this, and that. And you're reading as if you already done that. So that is the vision aspect that goes into the PRFAQ. And then you have 5 pages of FAQs that are dividing customer FAQs and internal FAQs. And customer FAQs is, if you're launching a product for or a program for a customer, like what questions would the customer have immediately as soon as they read this? And the internal FAQs are questions about the viability, the feasibility, the value, the usability, the internal needs that the team have to think about the strategy of this. So what the PRFAQ is not is a plan. Like, it's not a plan like, we're going to do this, then we're going to do that, then we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't list the activities on the PRFAQ. You just list the vision and the strategy so people can discover, debate, and decide if this is an opportunity worth pursuing.
Why do you think that is so important to strategic clarity?
Some of the stuff that you mentioned, you might include in the PRFAQ or not. For example, metrics, you might have an FAQ that is like, how we're going to measure success. But the writing of the PRFAQ and every writing at Amazon in general, but let's talk about the PRFAQ, is very important because it helps you think critically. So there is something that happens in our brain. Like when you're writing something, it's really hard to write incoherent text. It's easier to put incoherent ideas on a PowerPoint, but not so much on a narrative form. What I mean by narrative is like sentences and paragraphs, right? So when you're writing something and it doesn't go together logically, like your brain goes like, oh, we need to refine this. Like, this is not right. And often that comes in the form of like, I don't know this information. I need to go seek it, right? I need to go discover this information so that I can bring it back and like make sure that I'm writing this thing that makes sense. As you write your PRFAQ, you realize the gaps that you have on your knowledge. So maybe you have a gap about the customer or about the market or about the existing solution that the customer is using or the new solution that you need to create and how customers are going to discover that one. So there's several elements in the book. I list lots of things that you need to think through for any program, process, business. It's really a generic system that helps you see through this. And writing activates parts of our brain that enable critical and deep thinking as well.
What are the 5 principles of the PRFAQ?
When I left Amazon and I decided to write the book about PRFAQ, I was looking at how Amazon did PRFAQ and I said, like, you know, the way they do it, the method behind the madness, let's say, doesn't work for a founder. The number one is being customer-centric. You really want to start from the customer. Sometimes you don't know the customer. Sometimes you have to discover who the customer is and the real problem, but you have to be there. Like PRFAQs do not work if it is just a proposal for a solution. The second one is being aspirational. You're not talking about something that you already did or something that you're going to do next week. It's something that you're going to do in the future. So there is that element there. The third one is really about how you write the PRFAQ. You need to be clear, concise, and coherent in your writing. And the book is a lot about that. The book has lots of lessons that you can use for other documents that you're going to write in your professional setting. The fourth one is truth seeking. So different than writing a pitch deck, for example, and going to try to convince someone that this is the startup for them to invest, or this is the product they're going to build, or this is the HR policy we should adopt. PRFAQ is more like a pull mechanism. Basically, you're putting a document in front of people, but you're asking them to help me find the truth. How can we make this better? How can we make this happen? And the last principle is really, it's a strategic decision-making tool. So you use the PRFAQ to make strategy decisions, not tactical decisions, not execution, not planning, right? Really strategy. And strategy is a set of choices that you have to make that are often hard and that you incorporate that into the PRFAQ.
What inspired you to write this book?
Yes. So when I joined Amazon after 18 years in a startup, like my first week, I read a PRFAQ. And then on my second week, I read another 2 PRFAQs. And the first few that I read, I was like, wow, this is so weird because the document has a specific formatting. You know, the way to write is very specific. And then like probably on the 4th or 5th PRFAQ that I was reading, it finally clicked to me, like how much value the conversations that followed when a meeting started with a PRFAQ were there. So people were so good at discussing the important points and not the details. Because PRFAQ is really vision strategy. You're talking up here, right? And people are like, yeah, this is a great way to discuss anything that you want to do. And then I suddenly realized, like, founders should be using this, right? Mm-hmm. They should be using, even if it's just like a single founder working alone by themselves, you know, like, this is a great tool to think clearly and to articulate ideas.
Did you have much experience in writing books before? And why did you feel like you were the person and this was the moment to tell this story?
Yeah. So about halfway through my journey at Amazon, I was like, you know, why aren't more people using this? This is valuable. So maybe I'll write a few blog posts about it. Then when I left Amazon and I started talking with people about, you know, a startup idea that I had, it made me realize maybe I should pause the startup, write the book, publish the book, and then, you know, go do a startup. So that's how it started. I never done a book before. I never wrote a book before. I have written many, many blog posts in the past, but that was the extent of my writing expertise.
Congratulations on your first book. And what a useful, powerful, valuable one to have kicked off with. When you think about adopting the PR FAQ for startups and enterprises, what are some of the things that people typically get wrong about a PR FAQ?
There are several things that people get wrong. One of them is to think the PR FAQ as a plan. PR FAQ is about strategy and vision. Don't think of it as a list of features or, you know, the roadmap of all the activities that you're going to execute, or wireframes and designs and mocks and branding. None of that. You're really talking about, what outcome do we want to achieve and what is a strategy to achieve that outcome? The other stuff comes later. The other mistake that people make is wait too long to write the PR FAQ. The PR FAQ is an early document. You write very early. And I say, like, before day one of a project, right? Because you're using the PR FAQ to make the decision if you're going to pursue this project or not. And because of that, write as early as possible. Don't wait until you're like 6 months through the project. I've also seen people mistaking the PR FAQ as a marketing tool. It's not a marketing tool, despite the fact that it has the word press release on it. You're never going to send that to the press. It's an internal document. The press release is just so the team understand where this is going.
Have you actually been able to experiment either yourself or with other startup founders of folks using the PR FAQ in a startup context?
Absolutely. So I have a friend of mine who he worked at Amazon, and he was familiar with the PR FAQ, and he used the PR FAQ to decide his next startup. And he wrote several PR FAQs until one of them clicked. And he built the startup for 5 years, and the startup got acquired 6 months ago. So that was a very successful story using the PR FAQ. He was a brilliant person. I'm not going to say the PR FAQ is what made it be successful, but it helped him get clarity.
In the case where someone is kind of trying to figure it out on their own, where is that conversation happening?
Yeah, let's make this a two-part question, right? So the solo founder example, I wrote a PR FAQ for myself to write the book. So I said, like, the book is a product. It has a customer who has problems and I want to write the book for them. So let me understand what problems I'm trying to solve for customers. And then I defined my customers as innovators. By the way, this is not how I started at all. I started with thinking my customers were startup founders. Then I expanded to product managers and startup founders. Then I realized, no, my customers are innovators. Anyone who wants to change anything within an organization, either adding a new product, program, process, whatever they're going to do. Alone, I never share my PR FAQ with anyone, but it helped me think through exactly the details of what I was proposing. And that was very valuable for me, right? But when you are in a team, the value of the PR FAQ is to have multiple people looking from different angles at an idea. So you might have your engineering team looking from one angle, your design team looking from another angle, the marketing team, the legal team, the operations, the finance, the data team, and like, they're providing you feedback from their perspective. Is this doable? Not doable. Is this valuable? Not valuable. Is this correct? Not correct. And then you keep incorporating that. So what I tell people is there are two types of sessions that you conduct meetings, basically, that you conduct with folks. One is called a review session. You're going to divide everyone that you want to review your PRFAQ in groups, usually it's by function, you know, all engineers, or by team, or by stakeholder, whatever makes sense in the culture of your organization or the size of your organization. And you review with them, incorporate feedback, then review with the next group, incorporate feedback, and keep refining the document until you build enough conviction that it's like, we have enough for a decision. So then you hold a decision session, which is the last meeting regarding a PRFAQ. And that is a session that you say, like, is this a go or a no-go?
You know, one of the things that I think is so interesting, and you've said this a couple of times, is that this is the before day one document. I think from my own experience with my startup, I think about how much time, money, resources would often have been saved if we had spent more time prior to day one. And yet, particularly in a startup, there's such an urgency to get going and get and make something happen. And so much of the culture and the people who are attracted to it are people who are doers and builders, not so much kind of thinkers and ponderers. One, does that resonate with you in terms of some of the pushback that you can get to building a writing culture? And if a leader at a startup is thinking about trying to adopt this, how do they encourage it?
I'm with you on that one, Thomas. Like, we are doers. Yeah. We want to make things, right? Yeah. Like, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to write about it. We're just going to want to execute. And so that is a resistance why adopt a PRFAQ, right? Like, people are like, I don't want to do this. I just want to go and do it, right? It's much better to do it and measure right there. The difference is when you start from a PRFAQ, you're going to get a team and a level of clarity for yourself that is much better if you didn't have it. And by the way, PRFAQ is like a week or two of work, right? We're not talking about months here. Although in a really big organization for a really big project that is very impactful, it might take months. But for most of us, it's going to be a two-week exercise. And what happens when you do that is you are faster at delivering the outcome, because you're going to stop fewer times along the way to sync with other people, to find the misalignments and misunderstanding that happens so naturally when you don't have that conversation early on.
We've talked a lot about the startup founder persona and getting their team aligned, but you also have talked about a PRFAQ as a tool as one is thinking about raising money or investment. You are very clear that this is not a marketing document or a pitch deck. Could you walk me through how one should think about this in the context of raising money, but how to use it and how not to use it to be effective?
When I was researching the PRFAQ, I look at who are the people that raise money? Like, founders raise money for their startup, but also within a big organization, you don't raise money, but you need funding for a project or for initiative. Yeah. And the other group of people are academia and scholars and researchers and scientists, right? They also need grants and everything else. So what the PRFAQ does for this group is help them get clarity on how to tell the story in a way that resonates with other people. Because we as experts in our field, when we tell other people about our idea, we tend to get lost in the weeds. We go into the details and how exciting this is and all this problem. When you write a PRFAQ and have to take a step back and really think about the why and the outcome and the strategy, you're not talking the details. And that helps you articulate so much better. So usually I don't say people like, get your PRFAQ and put it in front of an investor. Most investors are not going to feel comfortable with that. But if you start from a PRFAQ and then move to a pitch deck, you're going to be able to articulate that pitch deck without rehearsing. The ideas have been absorbed by you and you recall everything that you wrote on the PRFAQ. So it's a much more powerful tool. The other example is like a researcher asking for a grant, right? So I watch a lot of YouTube videos about how to request grants because I was curious about that process. And it's very often that these folks talk about the need to explain the why behind the research. So it tells me that researchers sometimes also get lost in the weeds of what they're doing and forget to tell a story that will resonate with someone else.
Why hasn't it been more widely adopted, do you think?
I'll tell an analog to PRFAQ, which is OKRs, Objective and Key Results. They've been used by Intel for over 20 years. They've been using by Google for over 15 years before other companies and startups start adopting it. So OKRs have been around since the 90s. And we only start talking about that in 2015 or so, mm-hmm. that they start to have mass adoption. And now, like, lots of companies use it. Mm. So I don't think that's it's a good benchmark to say you have been around for 20 years and other companies aren't used yet. Amazon didn't do a job of promoting or pushing it. Neither did Google with OKRs. But then came along, like, people that felt, oh, this is interesting. We should evangelize and tell the world about it.
Am I then reading right that your prediction is at some point, this form of communicating is going to be more widespread?
If my book is successful, that's what it does.
Yeah, okay, great.
In the next 5 years, you're going to hear a lot more companies and startups and researchers using PRFAQ.
What has your writing process been? What are the inputs that you've used? And how has that felt similar or very different from starting your own companies prior?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference between a book and a startup is that a book, once it's published, is published. Like, you can't, like, ship new versions and update what you have on your desk with you.
Yeah.
So I had to put a lot of more thinking ahead of time about the details that I want in the book, because I knew, like, revising was really hard after it has been published.
Yeah.
So that's one big difference. But what I did for the book is I spent almost 2 months reading a lot of books about strategy, product strategy, writing, behavior science, and collecting my notes, watching lots of YouTube videos, listening to lots of podcasts on topics that were interesting. Then I collected like hundreds, if not thousands, of notes of ideas. So the exercise that comes after that is like, how do you organize all that, right? So you group them and then you try to create an outline for the book. And you say, like, here are the chapters that I'm going to write. You let that rest for a few days and then you come back. And it's like, that's not right. Let me redo that again. And let me redo that again. At one point, you go like, okay, I think this is the right outline. And then you start your writing process. For me, I wouldn't say it's the same for everyone, but the writing was fairly easy. It took me 3 weeks to write the first manuscript of the book because I had so many notes. So it was like, how do I write this note and incorporate this into a paragraph? It took a long time to do all the revisions and all the editing that goes with a book and then send revision copies to friends so they could take a look at it, provide feedback and do all that. So that second part after the writing took like 4 or 5 months.
I'm curious what you learned about yourself in this process that you didn't know before. What did the process of writing this book reconfirm to you about yourself or your view of the world?
I question if I had it in me to write a book because I never done it before. So it's one of those like, hey, you're going to have to take a leap of faith and get started on this. When I finished the first manuscript, I was very happy with my performance, let's put this way, right? Like, I did it, it's done now, but I didn't know if I was able to get it to the finish line. So it was very satisfying to learn about the book process.
Have you always been someone who's kind of unafraid of doing new things?
I don't know how I learned this. I have been influenced by my family who are entrepreneurs and, you know, they immigrated to Brazil. And then I immigrated to the U.S. So it's a family that had gone through, you know, normal changes, at least normal for us. Leaving Microsoft and doing a startup for me was exciting, not scary. Writing a book was exciting, not scary. And doing all kinds of new things it's very interesting.
What was the experience of growing up in an entrepreneurial household?
The word entrepreneur has changed from, you know, what it was in the 80s and 90s to what it is today, right? Today is sexy and empowering and like a good thing.
Yeah.
And the past was a word that meant like struggle and like business owner and like difficulties and all that. What I observe my family who, you know, my uncle, my grandfather, my mom had businesses, it was always like really hard work. There wasn't shortcuts. So I observed that. And I guess by just being around, I became like that as well.
Do you have a family of your own?
I do, yes.
Are there things that you hope that your current family will learn from watching you in a similar way to what you learned from your family of origin?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to make sure that my kids are curious. I think curiosity is so important. Curiosity overcomes nearly everything. I am not exaggerating here. Like, curiosity is like the desire to learn and to know more and to make things happen and to understand people and to listen to people. So it applies to so many aspects of a well-rounded human being. I really enjoy when my kids appreciate learning new things.
Do you have any tips for parents who are hoping to foster more curiosity in their families?
Start with traveling. Traveling outside of the U.S. particularly, I think it's a great way to put yourself in uncomfortable positions, and growth happens on those moments. Then you teach kids to be curious about, oh, we didn't know how to order food on this country. So that helps develop curiosity.
Is there anything else that you wanted to communicate with our listeners that I didn't ask you the right question for you to get across?
I would say if you are going to give it a try to the PRFAQ, understand that the first time you try something, it's hard, it's awkward, and probably not going to work the way it's meant to work. So try 2, 3, 4 times before saying like this works or it doesn't work for you and for your organization.
You've started multiple startups. You've worked at Amazon. You've now written a book. If you could go back and give advice to 3 different people. The first is Marcelo right before his first startup. The second is Marcelo right as he was starting at Amazon. The third is Marcelo right at the start of the journey of writing this book. What would your advice be to each of those people and why?
So the advice that I would give Marcelo before his first startup is an advice that I often give to people that tell me I want to leave my big company job and do a startup. And that is, before doing your own startup, join a startup so that you can learn from their mistakes. The advice that I'll give Marcelo right before or right at starting at Amazon would be to understand more about big company processes and how to navigate that. The advice that I would give Marcelo right at starting at Amazon would be slow down. Because startups move really fast and you want to make things happen really fast, and big companies have a different rhythm. So you have to be on the same beat as the big company.
Do you have any tactical recommendations for how you slow down or figure out the pace of the big company when you're shifting in? Are there clues you can look to? Are there certain things like how does one appropriately slow down?
Yeah, I think you need to observe how other people in similar roles as you behave and do their work, particularly the successful people, right? That they are considered like the role models within the organization. Find one of those people and ask them to be your mentor.
And lastly, the third one, Marcelo, right before you started writing this book.
I would just have told Marcelo to go for it. You got it.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, please check out www.theprfaq.com for more information on Marcelo and to get yourself a copy of the book. From entrepreneurial grit to the discipline of deep writing, Marcelo reminds us that great strategy starts not with funding or features, but with clarity. The PRFAQ isn't just a framework. It's a mindset. Customer-centric, aspirational, and brutally honest. And in a world that often rewards speed over substance, Marcelo challenges us to slow down just enough to think better. If you're a founder, operator, or future builder, I highly recommend checking out Marcelo's book, The PRFAQ Framework, and following his work online. You'll find links to everything we discussed, including a breakdown of the PRFAQ template on his site. And if this episode sparked something for you, share it with someone who's mapping out their next big idea. Until next time, stay curious. As always, I'm Thomas.